Hello and welcome to the Grove Church Podcast. I'm Charlie Lofton, the lead pastor there, and we are so glad that you're joining us. Whether you are a member and you're just catching up on a sermon that you missed, or you're someone who's brand new, we are really glad that you are joining us. And if you are new in some way, and I know that a lot of people will do that, will listen to sermons first before they visit, I want you to know that we would love to meet you at any point. You can join us live in our services on Sunday 9 and 10:30 or our streaming service at 10:30. Either way, we would love to be able to get to know you. And regardless of why you are here listening to this sermon today, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Well, hey, good morning. How are you guys? I am Mark, and I am going to take us this next step into the book of 1 John, which has just been a lot of fun already. It's a very convicting book if you get into it. I hope you're taking us up on the challenge to read a little bit on your own and kind of get into it. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. The first week, if you were here when I was trying to get us started, that John, he speaks in these like, it's organized, I'm sure, in his mind, but if you're trying to keep up with it, it's pretty difficult. There are these cyclical arguments where he'll make a statement in this chapter, and then he'll come back and kind of support it in this chapter, and he'll say the same thing several different times in different ways. Same, just different, you know, which is what my kids love me to do. You know, tell them something, then change it up a little bit and tell them again, and then change it up a little bit and tell them again. They're like, you already said that. No, I didn't. I said this. I didn't say it exactly this way. And he does a really good job of that. And these two big messages, this is kind of where the title of the series comes from, that God is light, that in him there is no darkness of all, and all the implications of that. And we've talked some about that, and Charlie will talk some more. And the second, that God is love, and what that means for us. And that's really what I want to focus in on this morning. And we're going to talk in a passage in chapter 3. But I am also going to bring in the supporting verses from chapter 4 because it just feels like if we're going to get the full picture of this argument, we need to follow these. You know, if he's going to say the same thing a different way, we need to get both, right? And so the first one I want to look at, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. All right, that concludes today's message. You guys should go obey that. Funny enough, there was a season for Terry and I. We lived in this town for 3 years. And then we were moving away, and every Sunday I had taught in one of their different venues, and there was one of those places that you teach for 45 minutes to an hour, and there was one Sunday that I did that and walked off the stage and called it a day. And do you know, and when I left that place, I had more people come up to me and say, I remember that Sunday and it changed my life than any of the others. So maybe I should do that this morning. Maybe I should just stop there and say, let's go obey this. We should, and that be enough. However, with this, I honestly feel like we need to dive into exactly what that means. Because it's one of those things that you look at and you go, yeah, you should. Should we love one another? Yeah. Should we love one another as Jesus followers? Yeah. Should just people, like, whether you follow Jesus, I mean, just it's just a good thing, right? People should love one another. This is something we should do. Now, do we actually practice that? That's a different question. Do we even know what it looks like to practice it? I should wear my seatbelt. I drive an older vehicle that doesn't yell at you if you don't wear your seatbelt. I get in Terry's car and it's meh, 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 put the seatbelt on. So you don't really have a choice. You're going to either be annoyed by this beeping. My parents is the worst. It is loud. Like, you must put the seatbelt on or the world's going to end. My older car, you know, you don't. I grew up where it was, you either did, you know, you didn't really necessarily have to. Some of the cars didn't even have seatbelts. If they did, they were tucked down in the seat. Actually, my older brother, he had a wreck in high school where he flipped a car 7 times, bumper to bumper, end over end. And he was buckled in, and that's the only thing that saved his life. So you would think that I would be like, oh, yeah, seatbelts matter. But last time I got pulled over, I was with the family. It was summertime. We were driving the Jeep, had the top off, got in the Jeep to leave the park, and a cop pulled me over. And I'm like, man, I hadn't got the chance to go fast yet. This thing won't even go fast. Why is he? I wasn't speeding. And he walks up, and he's like, your kids are not buckled in, and you have no top on. They can fall out of the car. And I felt about this tall. Not as bad as the time, if you know the story, that I left Jack in the car on a hot summer day on Father's Day. It gets worse. But it was a pretty bad parenting moment when the cop says, hey, you should probably buckle your kids into their seats. And I was like, oh, yeah, I probably should. But, yeah, I mean, other things like that we should do, right? We should diet and exercise. I had a friend last week that was talking about that. He went to the doctor. Doctor said, "Hey, you're going to need to do something. There's some bad things. You just need to eat better." And he, yeah, of course. We all know that. I'm actually on a little get right plan right now, and my issue is not I can change the quality of the food, but the quantity. The portion size gets me because I don't just eat 3 meals a day. I eat, you know, 7 or 8. There's first breakfast, there's second breakfast, there's third breakfast, and then lunch. I have a difficult time cutting that back. But the age-old battle for me is water. I don't drink water. And no matter how hard I try, I went actually this fall and bought not just a water bottle, but one of those big water bottles. And it has a straw because I found that I consume the water more quickly if I have a straw. And on the side, it says, you know, 8 a.m., 10 a.m. So it's giving me a chart for the day for me to actually put water in this body. And I still don't do it. I saw the other day, it is in the pantry. I used it once. So I should drink water. But I drink coffee, which I still think is mostly water, even though people tell me otherwise. So there's a lot of things that we should do. Some things like that. I even know how to solve the problem. I just don't like water. So I just don't do it. I choose not to. But then there are some things that we should do. And it's talked about so much that everybody says, yeah, we know that. But the truth is we don't really know what that looks like. And this is one that I have given a lot of thought because I've just realized that in our life, in my life, that loving well is difficult. And I think that we take for granted that we know what that means. And as I look around me, I don't see us loving well that often. One thing I've noticed, I read a book a few years ago about different cultures. So it was called Hot and Warm Cultures or something like that. I mean, Cold and Hot Cultures. Basically, places in the world where most of the year it's warm outside. Those places, by the way, a place that Jesus grew up. Those places, man, it's, you know, doors are open. Everybody in the neighborhood knows one another. The kids are calling the neighbors, auntie and uncle. You know, you really can't tell because everybody's living life and doing life together. The barbecue's out in this person's yard this week and that person's yards next week. You go to cold cultures where it's cold a lot of the year and the garage door's shut, the privacy fences are up, and you may or may not know your next door neighbor's name. And whether we like it or not, there's a part of that for most of us that's deep in there. There's a bend towards isolation. It's kind of a gravity towards putting on the face that we've got all of our things together. And you really can't love me because I don't appear to have any need of your love. And I'm not really sure how to love you because you appear to have all your things together as well. And if I ask, you're probably going to say, it's fine. You're not even really sure. I'm not even really sure if you did want to care for me and loving me, what that would look like. We are just immature in that way. And if you've ever traveled much and been to one of those places, you're like, man, these people know how to do community. Why can't we do that? I think that's some of what Jesus is calling us to here, and it's difficult for us. If we're going to look at this, we really have to, Charlie brought it up a few weeks ago, but we have to go to the Gospel of John, where John just quotes this statement of Jesus. A new command I give to you. This is actually what he's referencing here when he says, man, this is the message. A new command I give to you. Love one another. And then he says, this is what it looks like. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone, which that this verse 35 is crazy to me and so powerful. The hope for the world that people would know and believe and follow Jesus is that they look at his people and they see what love looks like. And we don't talk about that near enough, that it's the core of how the world will know. And it's also the core of the reason why the world says, I don't have time for that, because they don't see this kind of love. If they saw it, everyone would be attracted to it, right? But that's a talk for another day. Today, he says, as I have loved you, this is what it looks like. In the way that I have loved you, love one another. And I got to thinking about this. You know, one thing about the way that Jesus loves, now it's obvious, and we'll talk some more about his sacrifice and his love and mercy and grace. But one thing is, he knew us. He knew us in our brokenness. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came to us. He took the step. But he knew what needed to be done, and he went and he did it. And I think what happens a lot of times, at least for me, and some of this is just maybe a personal confession, but I hope it tracks with you as well. I think that, you know, I don't know. Like, a lot of times I'm saying you should love one another, but the truth is I don't know you well enough. You don't know me well enough to do that. Jesus knew us. He knew what needed to happen, and he did it. But a lot of times we don't. And we don't even have a good language for that. You know, if you're going to tell me the spots that you need love, then it's probably going to take me stepping out first and revealing to you some area of need or weakness that might be embarrassing. Me opening up then clears the air and makes it safe for you to open up. And y'all, that's where loving one another starts. And I think it's the place we always try to skip. And I think we don't even realize how much it is that we try to shield everyone from it. I was thinking about this when Terry and I and our boys, when they were young, we sold everything. We moved to a place in South Asia, and we moved into a home where the parents had built a second level for their son, but their son had moved to the States, and they let us basically be a homestay in their same home and take over that second floor flat. And they had a house helper that would cook for them and would do a little cleaning. And they said, hey, she'd love to help you as well. If you'll chip in a little bit, she'll come upstairs and also help you with some of that, especially with the cooking, because it was difficult for us to figure out how to take the spices and all the things and make the food. This was a smaller village kind of area. And that was all great, but she didn't speak any English. And at that point, we didn't speak any Hindi. And if the landlords were there, they could help with communication. But if they weren't, we were just in trouble. And so there were a lot of really funny things that happened as we tried to figure this out together. One, you know, when you go overseas, what are you not supposed to do? Drink the water, right? Well, we get there, and there's a water filter in the house. And she was filling up our water bottles for us and putting them in the refrigerator. And so there was always cold water in the refrigerator. This was awesome. And it was weeks into this thing that we were out and we went to fill it up ourselves. And we saw on there, in English, you know, it's written, that you have to push this button to actually run the water through the filter. If you don't push this button, it's just running straight tap water. And if you push the button, when you fill up your water bottle, it goes ding, diddle, ding, diddle, ding, 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 ding. It plays this little song. And that's the first time we had heard that song. So we had been drinking tap water for several weeks there. I don't remember us getting really sick, which is crazy. I think we built up some bacteria and some enzymes during those days. But then there was this other time that Terry comes in and she's like, hey, she's saying that we need a seal. I assumed it wasn't the seal, like a water seal, but I didn't know what a seal was. And she said to make dinner, she was going to have it. And I needed to go find one and buy it. But I tried to get her to explain, and the best I could get, it looked like maybe something that you ground stuff with. She was making these hand motions, and but I had no idea what I was looking for. I spent the whole day on the back of a scooter, y'all, driving around this town, trying to find out something I didn't even know what it looked like, what I was trying to get, but just some idea that it had to do with food preparation. At the end of the day, I finally, there's this guy on the side of the road, and it looked like something that might be it from all the pieces I'd put together in my investigation throughout the day. And I pulled over, and this guy didn't speak English either. I'm like, "Seal?" He's like, "Yeah, seal." So by this big rock. It was just a big rock and a rock to smush stuff with. And I took it home. And I didn't know the language, and she didn't have a language to communicate with me. And we were trying to do something here. She wanted to help. She wanted to help. I needed help. But we didn't have any way of talking to one another. I think that's where we mostly find ourselves. Y'all, we don't even have a language for this because we're so good at protecting the image. We're too embarrassed to just be the one that steps out and confesses the needs that we have. I had a guy one time, he wanted to pay for lunch. And I was like, "Man, no, I'm not going to let you pay for lunch." It was something in me that was like, "No, you know, I'm not going to be the one that you pay for my lunch. I'm going to pay for your lunch." And this guy stopped me and looked me dead in the eyes and said, "If you can't let me, if you will not allow me to buy your lunch, how can you be generous and buy anybody else's? Genuinely. You are going to let me buy your lunch." Okay. And he had a really good point. There was something in me that didn't want to be the guy that was having my lunch purchased for me. I wanted to be the one, and that needed to fall and break in me so that I could do well for someone else. I just gave you 1 John 3:11. Now we're going to jump ahead again. Same thing, only different from chapter 4, verse 21. He says, and he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. If you're going to love God, this is not a, and then also if you want to, it's a must also. These two things are tied together. And again, I feel like it begins with us being honest. You know, hey, my marriage is struggling. Not when my marriage is over, but when my marriage is struggling, being honest. Hey, we're having some financial troubles. Not when it's over and there's no help that can be given, but when it's in its beginning stages. Hey, can you help me? Hey, I'm trying to be a parent, but it's really hard. Y'all, being a parent is hard. Hey, I need help. When you're in the beginning stages, not later down the road and you're looking back and thinking you could have really used some help, but you kept it secret. Chapter 3, verse 14, he goes on, he says this, we know, and remember, know is repeated throughout 1 John like 30-something times, love is 30-something times, and in this little section, we get know and love. Here's some things we need to know about love. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. You know, this is not just this is an identifying mark of a true Jesus follower. This is how we know that we have life. His kind of love is in us, and it's being manifest through us in our relationships. All right, so then jump ahead to chapter 4, verse 7. Again, same thing, only different. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. And it just makes good sense, because guess what? God is love. That's who he is. And so if we're in him, if he's in us, man, love abounds. And it's an identifying mark of a true Jesus follower. Had this happen a few years ago, met a new friend. We're just kind of hanging out, getting to know him, talking. Noticed that his ears, both of his ears, are just look like they're just mangled. And almost like somehow he had burned them And I didn't know if this was, you know, something that had, an accident that had happened, had been there from birth, you know, but obviously there was something wrong with his ears. But, you know, we just got to know each other and I thought, well, sooner or later I'll find out. Well, about that same time, my kids start to wrestle. And I'm getting into this wrestling community and I find out, you know what? Fighters, wrestlers, people who are on the mat a lot, this is one of the things that happens. Their head will be on the mat and it'll rub on the mat and blisters will grow. And if you don't drain those blisters, which we do a lot of this at our house, it's a funny kind of thing, but if you don't drain those blisters, they will harden up. And before long, your ears just look mangled. And, you know, I was kind of like, man, this would be something I wouldn't want to happen. You don't want mangled ears, right? Until you've been in this community a little bit and you start to find out that this is an identifying mark of a fighter. And when you see a guy with mangled ears, now we've been a lot of girls around. I mean, you see a girl with mangled ears, you're like, oh, they're tough. It's a badge of honor. Man, I wish I had me some mangled ears. I knew some guys that wrestled with my sons who were trying to make their ears mangled. They were trying to get the cauliflower ear because it was an identifying mark of a, that means that guy is a wrestler. Something that I thought was ugly and was like, I don't know if I want. Now it is really cool. I see one of those guys and I'm like, I kind of wish I had some mangled cauliflower ears because that's just cool. You know, a lot of times we spend so much of our life trying to shield and protect those weaknesses. Those hardships that are going on in our lives, the things that we're a little bit embarrassed by. So we isolate those, we cover them up, we put some makeup on it, and we go out and try to pretend. And the truth is, the identifying mark of a true Jesus follower is that they're not afraid to be honest. I got nothing. He's my everything. My hope is in him. So I can let down the fear of what you think of me. And I can be honest about my humanity and my desperate need, and he is my answer. And now, the minute I do that, now guess what you get to do? You get to do the same thing back. And that's where love really begins, this loving one another. And it's an identifying mark of a true Jesus follower. And in the same way, kind of the same thing, only different other side of this story, chapter 3, verse 15, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. So then again, jump ahead to chapter 4, verse 20, kind of same thing. Whoever claims to love God, who makes the claim to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, that person is a liar. That person is just a poser. If they claim to love God, but they hate their brother and sister, don't love their brother and sister well. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. It is just real. If we can't love one another, then it is a joke to say that we're loving God well. If we can't tangibly among one another love well with people that we can see that we're doing life together with, then we're just pretending. It's all just a joke. This identifying mark thing, this past week, I saw somebody's baby and I was like, oh man, I know who your daddy is. It's pretty obvious. It was this way when Caleb, our oldest, was born. People were like, okay, this is mini me. This is Mark. There's no doubt about it. You put our baby pictures together. It's like, okay, this is who this is. I actually met a college student this week who I knew her father. And I was like, oh, I know who you are. I mean, it's pretty. And the word came to my mind, the spitting image. And I got curious about that. I looked up the origin of that. Anybody know the origin of spitting image? There's some debate over it, evidently. One thought is that you look so much like each other. It's like you just spit them out of your mouth. I don't really like that one. I think that one doesn't seem to work for me. I don't know why that even. But the second one is that maybe it started out splitting image. And then over time, people started to just say spitting. And splitting is like the idea of like a log, and it's got the wood grain there. And then you split it. And when the log opens, you know, you've got the same wood grain on both sides, identical wood grain on both sides, the splitting image. Y'all, this is the reality. This is who our God is, love. He loves big. He loves first. He loves sacrificially. And his children look like him. And if they don't, then there is serious question about their who their parent is. John is leaving no doubt. Then chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Here's our model. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Clearly, the model of Jesus is self-sacrificing love. Love with no thought of what I get from it. Love that's 100% I'm giving and not expecting anything in return. That's what Jesus did. And you know, honestly, racking my brain to go back through life and to think about the times that I saw this or experienced it, either was a part of it or had it shown to me, love that's self-sacrificing with no thought of getting anything back. I remember Terry and I moved to this town. We had bought an older house. We needed to do some tile work in the kitchen, but I had no idea how to do that. I'd never done it before. And I just mentioned that to some new guys that I met. And those guys, they brought the tile saw. They brought all the stuff. They showed up at my house. We stayed up till late at night and taught me how to do it, did most of the work for me. We sat there and got to know one another while we did this tile. They had families and things too, but they sacrificed that time. And I was left. I think this is the way you know. I was left at the end going, why? Why did they do that? They got absolutely nothing out of it. I don't think we fed them pizza. I mean, I didn't do anything good. They got nothing. In the same way, we had some close friends. At this point, we didn't know them all that well. The wife or her father had passed away. She was at the funeral. Husband was at home taking care of the kids. And we just did what we do. You know, we made a meal and knew that he might need a meal because he was juggling a lot of things. And so we just took a meal over to him. And this guy got teary-eyed and looked at me, and he asked me that. He said, why? He really wanted to know. He thought maybe there was something I was hoping to get from in return. I'm like, no, we just thought you might need it. He's, no, why, though? And I said, just thought you might need it. And I had to, convince him. No. I mean, that's what happens when you love this Jesus self-sacrificing way. The other person is left going, man, this is... There's no answer to the question of why. You're just loving. It's a supernatural love that doesn't make any sense. If we jump ahead to chapter 4 and look at the further description of it, it says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Did you catch it? This is love. God loved us. He took the first step. The model is he stepped out. And so it's going to be inherent to us if this is going to happen that we're going to have to take initiative, not wait for initiative to be taken towards us. But the Jesus model is I'm going to be the one that takes the first step. feels like a lot of times, I've just watched it. In the morning, on Sundays, we're like, hey, greet one another. And it immediately turns into the junior high dance. Sunday's finished, we're like, man, linger a little bit. And if you're not careful, that's just what we do. We pin ourselves against the wall and we're kind of just waiting. And nobody's really wanting to be the one that crosses the floor. Because why? Well, our twins, they're in elementary school, and they had a dance at the elementary school a few weeks ago. What has the world come to? Had a DJ, had the whole nine. It's been a while since we did elementary school, and it has changed even in those years. But, of course, the elementary school kids weren't dancing. They weren't asking each other. I wasn't even trying to encourage Jack to go ask a girl out. I might have a little bit, but there were some middle schoolers there that were trying to help take care of the dance, and we knew one of those boys pretty well. And I'm like, hey, there's some middle school girls here. And he's like, yeah, there are. I said, any of them you think are cute? Yeah, I think that's pretty cute. Hey, why don't you ask her to dance? And this guy, he's confident. I've seen him be very bold in a lot of different situations. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, why not? Well, she might say no. And I said, yes, but she might say yes. You don't know. And I'm trying to encourage him just to take the initiative. But the fear of rejection is so big that he just stands against the wall. Man, it feels like Jesus followers trying to figure out how to love one another are like that a lot of the time. Who's going to be the one that takes the step? Who's going to be the one that crosses the floor? You might get rejected. Might not go perfectly, but that's kind of the whole point. Look at this, chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. This would be a good memory verse. Super short, super powerful. We love because he first loved us. I'll tell you one obvious thing when we talk about taking this initiative. We're going to roll around here. If you've been around for a while, you know this is going to happen. We're going to go through the summer, about August. We're going to relaunch our small groups. Truth is, we don't have enough of them for the community to be involved. We need about 8 to 10 more groups, which means somebody, 8 to 10 couples, teams are going to have to say, hey, I'm willing to facilitate a time and a place weekly, bi-weekly, where people can get together and they can know one another so that we can know each other well enough to actually love one another and not just pass each other as we run through our busy lives. We got Connections class coming up here in a few weeks. Being willing to just step out and say, yes, I want to be a part of the community. When the service ends today, maybe there's just somebody that you know you just need to go say, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? No, really. He loved first, and he loves big. And then the last verse of this little section, chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Y'all, let's not be people who are just talk a good game, but don't take any actions. What's the point of just talking a good game? Yeah. But we're quick to do it. And I think one of the big reasons is because I know the consequence of not wearing my seatbelt is I'm going to get thrown out of the car. I know if I don't eat well, I'm going to end up with something. I'm going to go to the hospital. If I don't drink water, I'm going to have cramps or whatever, be dehydrated. But the consequences of not loving one another well, we don't often think about that. We think, oh, it's going to be okay. So we don't take care of it. We don't love well until it's too late. I don't know if y'all saw last night. Terry and I started getting these texts from family in a different part of the state this morning about 2 a.m. And you know, they sent us the weather thing. You know, it's got this huge monster red thing cloud like about to pass over the top of us. I don't think it came in near like what it was supposed to, but it looked like in about an hour we were going to get rocked, and they had gotten rocked, and they were warning us that it was a really, really bad storm. And I realized, and I think this every time afterwards, I got a trampoline out there, and people's trampolines get blown into other people's yards all the time. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I have seen it. And I'm like, man, this is what's about to happen. My trampoline's going to end up out on the highway. So I have this anchor thing, and I was like, all right, I need to anchor that thing down. Should have done it a long time ago, but now I got an hour before this storm hits, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm gonna anchor it down. And so 2 a.m. in the morning, I'm out there trying to get this thing where it won't get blown away. And then the storm didn't even come. But anyway, I got out there and took care of something that I knew was going to be trouble. And y'all, we know that storms of life are coming. We know that hard stuff is around the corner. And yet, we will wait until the storm is up on us to say anything to one another. We will wait till the storm is on top of somebody to go help them. Because we don't take it serious until then. Well, wouldn't it be awesome if we just had one of those weather things for hard stuff in life? All right, yeah, the red. Oh, red means financial trouble. It's coming. All right, yeah. Oh, purple. Yeah. Marriage stuff's about to get tough. Better get ready. Better bat down the hatches. It's about to get bad. We don't get that. And it's in the clear days and the peaceful times that we got to take it serious. We got to know one another well so that we can travel together through those tough times and the good times. It's a lot more fun with people in the good when it's a clear sunny day than being isolated, posing as somebody who has it all together. Now, what would it be like to be a community like that? I know that is a supernatural work that only God does. So I bring 1 John to you today. These things are true. They were said then, and they're still just as true today. But I know the power that has in your heart is the Spirit of Almighty God doing something that only He can do. And so if it's cool with you, I'd just like to close out just asking that He would. Father, I admit that we can nod our head and say we should love one another. We can nod our head in agreement, and we all know that we should. It also said in these passages, we ought to. We know it is the right thing to do. We know that we need it, and we know that others need it. If we're honest, we know that we don't do it very well. And Father, I am just asking you that you would do that in us. Do that in us, Father. I know it would make you really happy. Father, it would reveal to everyone around us your character and your nature, your self-sacrificing love, your initiative-taking love, your big love. And then also, Father, we just need it. Our lives would be so much better if we were able to do life together. We need you, Father. So I ask for your power to take this next step of the journey together. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on our sermon podcast, and you can learn more about us at thegrovechurch.org. And if you go to thegrovechurch.org/connect, there's a form you could fill out. Just let us know that you've been listening. And if you want to dig deeper on some of these topics that we cover in our sermon podcast or just in other issues of dealing with culture or theology, those kinds of things, you can check out our Cultivate podcast, which is on the same feed, however you found this particular podcast. So again, this is Charlie, the lead pastor at The Grove, and thank you so much for joining us.